This week, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 12, the last chapter. It's our last week in Ecclesiastes. So if you have your open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to be in verses 9 to 14. 9 to 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 9 to 14. I was like, what's deflating? It's just EJ. Just EJ deflating. Everyone there? Everyone there? Good. Ecclesiastes 12, 9 to 14. All right. You need help finding it? So just go to the back end. It's the last chapter in Ecclesiastes? Yeah, you got it. Good job. All right. So Ecclesiastes, what we talked about. Ecclesiastes, one of the things is it makes us ask the question, what is the purpose of life? What is our purpose in this world? Okay? What's our purpose? Because there's this king, right? This king who's wise and knowledgeable, and very wise, very knowledgeable. And this king searches, goes out, and tries everything to find what life is about, okay? Has as many things as this king can have, okay? Is as wise as a person can be. And then this king just realizes that life doesn't really make sense, because good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people. At the end of life, everyone dies, no matter what kind of accomplishments you have, no matter what you've done or what you haven't done, everyone in the end dies. And so this king is like, what is the meaning of life? Okay, so that's one thing Ecclesiastes is about. And now that we're in this last chapter, we're going to be reminded of something else that I think we see throughout all of Ecclesiastes, okay? The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that we're not in control. Okay, that's what this king, I think this king is finding, is that we are not in control. We're not the ones who are in ultimate control of our life. All right? And there's this king who's writing Ecclesiastes, and he's really grasped this truth that we're not in control. Okay? Even when we think that we're in control, even sometimes we might think that we're in control, it doesn't really matter, because in the end we all die, right? And so what kind of control we have? We can't control death, right? And so here in these last few verses, we have a narrator who it's not necessarily the king talking, but there's this narrator kind of commenting on what the king is talking about. And this narrator is realizing in these last few verses that we are not in control. It's not just the king, but this narrator actually realizes that we're not in control. And we have this final statement, okay, in these last six verses, we have this final statement about what our purpose is. So we're not in control. Okay, and then this narrator is like, okay, well, what's our purpose? And here's what the final statement is about what our purpose is. It's to submit to God. That's what our ultimate purpose is to submit to God. Okay, so let me read these last six verses of chapter 12, and then we'll pray. All right, so follow along starting in verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for being present with us right now. God, we need you tonight. I need you. We all need you tonight to speak to us, to transform us, to work in our lives. We need your presence. We need just be reminded that you are alive and that you are with us, even right now as we sit here on a Wednesday night. Would you remind us that you're good and that you're trustworthy, and that you are working all things out for our good and your glory? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to imagine this, okay? It's like 11 p.m. at night. I don't really stay up till 11 p.m. anymore because I'm old, okay? But it's 11 p.m. at night, and Cass and I just finished watching our favorite show, The Office, okay? And we're going to bed. So, like, we brush our teeth. We're getting ready for bed. I'm like getting under the covers, and Cass looks at her phone, and she realizes that she has like 4 missed calls from her doctor. Okay, and he left a message. Her doctor left a message, and it's 11 p.m. at night. So we're like, why is the doctor calling 11 p.m. at night? Okay, and we listen to the message, And the message is like, hey, I was just reviewing some of your results. It looks like your blood pressure's a little high. So, oh, I left out a big detail. Cass is pregnant at this time, okay? And he's like, I left out a big detail. I mean, no, he didn't say that. I just left out a big detail. He's like, I saw your blood pressure's a little high. So I think you should come, and I think you need to have the baby tonight. And I was like, whoa, this is like 2.5 weeks early from when the baby's supposed to be here. And then maybe like the baby would even be born after that, you know? So I was like, this is actually going to happen tonight, like at 11 p.m. Like we're going to go in and get ready to have a baby. I was like, I can't control any of this. Like there's nothing. I couldn't be like, we called the doctor back and I couldn't be like, how about we just wait? You know, maybe we could like have it on this day, like maybe in like 3.5 weeks we could have the baby, and you know, maybe like 1 p.m. in the afternoon or something. It doesn't work like that. I had no control, and I was so aware that I was out of control, like that there was nothing I could do in this situation. All right, I don't think that we need the book of Ecclesiastes for us to realize that we don't have control over a lot of things in our lives. We don't need to read this book and be like, oh, you're right, you know, I don't have control, because all of us experience things in our lives that we have no control over, that we're helpless to, that we can't change or fix or do anything about. We just have to realize that we don't have control. And I think there's things like that in all of your lives, right? There's maybe friends that you can't control how they feel. You can't control how they feel about you or what they think of you or what they say. You can't control what other people do. You can't control even, well, yeah, we'll talk about things we can't control in a little bit. But we're all very aware that we cannot control our lives, okay? We can't control how other people treat us. We can't control how our bodies even work, how they function, right? We try to be healthy and we try to take care of our bodies, but sometimes our bodies just fail. And they just hurt, like Luke's arm, right? Yeah, sorry to call you out. Luke was here and talked about it last week, though, okay? So it just made me think about it. We can't control the expectations that others have for us all the time, right? We have expectations for people, and people have expectations for us that we can't necessarily control. But at the same time, even though we can't control our lives, I think we all try to control our lives, okay? We all try to control what we can't control. We try to control how other people treat us by kind of putting on a mask or portraying a certain type of person so that those people like us, so that they treat us well, right? That's how we kind of try to control other people and how they treat us. We try to control our bodies and our health by trying to be healthy and stay fit and eat well. But, you know, sometimes things just go wrong that we can't control. We try to do everything we can to meet other people's expectations, to make them happy, even though it's exhausting. But sometimes we just can't live up to other people's expectations. There's a lot of things that we can't control. And in the ideal life, okay, in a perfect life, we're able to control our lives. We're able to control everything that goes on, okay? And that would be amazing. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could just control everything? If we could just tell our bodies to be healthy and tell people to love us and help and meet people's expectations in a perfect way. It would be so, so amazing, okay? But I think something we see here is that we need to face the reality of life. We can't just face the beauty or the delightful things in life, but we need to face the reality of life. If you look at verse 10, what does the narrator say? The narrator says that the preacher, or the king sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. There was this king, and he went out and he searched for the purpose of life. And I'm sure that this king was hoping to find something beautiful, something delightful. But what the king was confronted with was something kind of opposite to that. Was confronted with a life that is broken, with a world that is broken. And instead of writing some words that were kind of like too optimistic or kind of out of reality of what was actually the reality, the narrator was like, no, you know what? I'm going to write what is true. And the whole book of Ecclesiastes is just the king's kind of observations of what life is, a messy, chaotic world in lives that we live. And so I think we, even though we would love to look at the ideal life and think that we have control, I think we need to face the fact that we don't have control. We need to face the truth that we're not in control. And you know, also we can keep trying to have control, but also the narrator here also warns us about this in verse 12. If you look at verses 11 and 12, the words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. And then in verse 12, my son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. You know, there was this king who was so wise and knowledgeable and was trying and trying and trying to find the perfect, most ideal life, to find the perfect, most ideal purpose. And what's one of the biggest words in Ecclesiastes? It's vanity. It's vain. Everything that the king is like, everything that I do is done in vain. It's worthless in the end. It amounts to nothing. And so I think what the king is saying here is you can try and try and try to have control. You can try to gain as much knowledge and as much wisdom as you can. But in the end, it's just going to be exhausting. Grasping for control is just exhausting. It never ends. It's just a continuous cycle, which is kind of another theme in Ecclesiastes. All right. So the reality is that none of us have control of our lives. Maybe there's little ways that we feel like we do, but ultimately none of us have control of our lives. You know, we can try to be happy and content in whatever situation comes our way, right? We've read some passages in Ecclesiastes where the king has said, there's nothing better than to accept and delight in your toil or whatever situation comes your way. There's nothing better than that. And, you know, I think that's good advice, right? To have a good attitude, to be humble, to kind of accept whatever comes your way. Because I think I talked about the Hess truck that week, right? Where I was like, oh, I had this Hess truck, and then I got a second Hess truck, and I kind of threw a fit about it. But it would have been so much better if I just accepted what came my way, because it was the same outcome in the end. And instead, I went through this whole tantrum or sadness when I could have just been accepting and happy and joyful, and the same thing would have happened. The Hess truck would have got returned, and everything would have been okay. That's good advice, to accept and just rejoice in whatever comes our way in our work, whether it's good or bad, all right? But I think that the narrator at the end here says, you know, that's good advice, but I think I also have some more, even greater advice than that. And not even advice, but some words and some wisdom, some truth to live by. Okay, if you look at verse 13, the narrator answers a question that the king has also been trying to answer. What is man's purpose, or what is humankind's purpose? Okay, verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Okay, this is the last two verses of the whole book, and this is the end of the matter, the last thing that the narrator that's going to be spoken in this book. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed unto judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So what is humankind's purpose? To fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's to submit to God's control. Ecclesiastes is a book that reminds us that we don't have control of our lives. And then here in these last two verses, I think the narrator is saying, there's nothing better than to realize and acknowledge that you don't have control of your life. And so there's nothing better than to submit to God's control. All right. The narrator has taken all of the words of Ecclesiastes, okay? All these words in Ecclesiastes, that life is absurd. Life doesn't make sense. Life is unfair. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Death comes to all. There's no escaping death, okay? The narrator's taken all of these words, and then the narrator says this, right? There's no better way to live than to live under God's control. So in light of everything that the king has said, these are the last words. There's no better way to live than to live under God's control. And so I was thinking a little bit today, what does it mean to live under God's control? Okay, because I think sometimes it's kind of like a hard thing to actually like put into practice in our lives. Like we think about it, we can be like, oh, we read the Bible, we know what the Bible says, we can try to obey what the Bible says, okay? Also, living under God's control is like, oh, God's like working things out in our lives, so we just kind of have to go along with whatever God is doing in our lives. And I think those are both good things and true things, right? To read our Bibles and to try to obey what God says and listen to God in the Bible. But I think one way that I really appreciated just thinking about was, let me share a story with you. I think maybe this story will kind of help to capture what I'm thinking. So in sixth grade, I went to the Great Escape for the first time when I was in sixth grade. And this was back when, I think I've shared this story before with a few times. This was back when it was at a different place. So there was this big kind of chapel. It was like a church, and there were pews in the church. And I came in the first night on Friday night, and I sat down in one of the pews at the church, kind of in the back of the church. And all of a sudden, there was just some music. Nothing was really happening yet. There was just music playing on the speakers. And I was sitting there, wasn't really talking to anyone. And all of a sudden, I was just overwhelmed by God's presence. I was sitting there and I couldn't ignore that God was real and that God was alive and that God was with me right there in the pews when I was 11 years old, sitting in the pews in upstate New York. I couldn't ignore that God was real. I knew that God was with me, that God was alive, and that God was real. And you know what? I don't remember having many thoughts. I don't remember like any really specific thoughts that I had. But I do remember just this overwhelming feeling of me feeling like, God, I need you. I need you, God. I don't really remember what was going on in my life then. There wasn't anything like super bad going on. There wasn't anything super great. I just remember feeling overwhelmingly, God, I need you. Not to like do anything in my life. Not because there was any problem I wanted God to fix, but I just knew that I needed God in my life, that I needed to walk with God, that I just needed God's presence with me. And you know what? I think this kind of captures what it, in a sense, what it means to live under God's control, okay? I think to live under God's control is to live in the reality of a broken world and the broken lives that we live in. Like Ecclesiastes points out, right? Ecclesiastes points out that we live in a broken world, that we live in, that we have broken lives. And I think it's to acknowledge that, but then also to be constantly crying out to God, God, I need you. In the midst of our broken lives, in the midst of a broken world and chaotic world of an absurd world, to live under God's control is to constantly be crying out, God, I need you. God, I need you when I keep doing things that I don't want to do. That are hurtful to others, that I know that I shouldn't do. God, I need you. Or God, I need you when I'm facing guilt or shame about something that I've done. Just God, I need you. Or God, I need you when I'm celebrating, when I'm happy, when something really great has happened in my life. Or God, I need you when I don't feel loved, when I don't feel even lovable. I need you, God. Or God, I need you when I'm burdened and when I'm overwhelmed. Or maybe it's, I need you when my relationship with my family or my friends or whoever is just crumbling or hurting. God, I need you. Or maybe it's this, you know, maybe it's you don't have a lot of clarity for what's next in your life. What are you going to do next? What are you going to do in 1 year? Or what? Yeah, you do.
Is it kind of like how to keep his commitments? Is it kind of like to accept life and more respect God?
Is that what it means to keep God's commandments? Is that what you're saying? I think kind of, but I think even more, I think that definitely is true, right? To respect God and to keep his commandments. And I think even more than that, what God wants more than anything is God doesn't just want us to need him when we need things. I think it is kind of the point I'm getting at. But God just wants us to need him because he is good. God just wants to be with us. God just wants to know us. God wants us to know him. And so it's not God, I need you to make me to. But I guess the next thing I was going to say is God, I need you when I don't know what's next in my life. And it's not even God, I need you to tell me what to do. But it's just God, I need you. I need your presence right now. And maybe, right, maybe God will give you clarity for whatever's next. Maybe God will help you fix that relationship that's broken. Maybe God will come alongside, will help you to feel less shame or less guilt. But really the beginning stage and the real thing is just, God, I need you. In every moment of life, God, I need you. I need you to know me and I need to know you. I need your presence here with me right now. And so as we finish Ecclesiastes, okay, this, I think, is what I can leave you with tonight, okay? You don't have control of your life. I don't have control of my life. We don't have control of our lives, all right? And life is chaotic. Life can be depressing and sad and difficult, all these things, and confusing. Life can be all these things. And you don't have control over it, ultimately. And you know what? The best thing that you can do is that whatever comes your way, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's to submit to God, to need God, to simply need God, to say, God, I need you, whatever comes your way. Let's pray, and then I'll have some questions on the screen, and we're going to break up into small groups, all right? God, we need you right now. We need to know that you are with us. We need to know that you are not just a genie who fixes problems. You're not just someone who's far away up in the sky, but you are actually near to us. You are near to us in a broken world and a confusing world and in our confusing and broken lives. You are with us, and we need you. We need your presence for so many reasons, but simply, we were created to be with you. We were created to be present with you and for you to be present with us. That is when we are most ourselves. That is when we are most whole and filled. So God, we need you. Would you speak to us even just as we go into small groups and talk a little bit about what it looks like to need you in our lives? And what kinds of things maybe get in the way of us knowing our need for you? Would you help us to let go, to loosen our grip on the control of our lives and to let go and to submit to you and to need you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.